Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Amen. Thank you, Jessica. Morning, church. It's great to have this opportunity to share with you. And as we look at this story, this experience, Luke's gospel tells about this encounter. An encounter with Jesus Christ. These 10 individuals, this group of people, together, huddled together, gathered together, outcasts. Outcasts from society, outcasts from the daily routine of the community, keeping themselves separated because of this disease of leprosy. Had to be hard, didn't it? It would have to be a hard life. A hard life with sadness and disappointment. Hard life for their families and any other friends, people that would have known them, have to stay clear, keeping them off over here. As we think about this, who likes being isolated like that? Who likes being shunned? Who likes being kicked to the curb? Who likes feeling unwelcomed? Show me some hands. Who likes it? Nobody. Nobody likes that state of affair. To feel that way. Even if it's within themselves. Even with no one, if nobody else is seeing it or can tell, but it's within them, they are struggling. Do you think about they? Do you ever think about them? Or are you just strolling through the doors thinking about self? This group of people from a distance. From the distance they cried out. They heard Jesus coming and they cried out with all that they had. They cried out to Jesus for help. They cried out for Jesus for healing. They cried out for Jesus for someone to love them. For someone to notice and care for them. Jesus, he was the man. He is the man. He is forever the most compassionate person to ever walk on this earth. The most compassionate person to ever speak to people that called out to him. I've said it before, Jesus never healed anybody on the run. He was never too busy to hear the cry for help. And what does he say? He walks over to them. He speaks to them. He acknowledges them. And in verse 14, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." He said, "Go." He didn't come over and try to get their names and addresses or how long they'd been there, how long they'd been sick, or how long it was since somebody talked to them, or how long somebody tried to help them. He said, "Go." go. And they went, and they were cleansed, and they were healed. He'd done it earlier, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. It was just one man at that time, there in chapter 5. Even that man, he said, go see the priest. So you know news spreads, and healing news, miracles, that type of information would be around the community and spread. So maybe this group of 10, they heard about the one that were healed. Maybe they were hoping that maybe Jesus would heal them as well. But I think a deeper question for us here today is how do we heal the ingratitude? How do we heal our attitudes about ingratitude and our actions, the things we say without even saying them, the aurora of our presence when we come strolling through that door, or when we hit the door running, getting out of here as fast as we can? How is it with us? How is it with your soul? Is there gratitude, or is it just ingratitude? We cannot make each other grateful. I cannot make you grateful. I cannot make my kids grateful. You can't make your grandkids grateful for anything. So where's it got to come from? It's got to come from within. Deep within our own selves. It has to come from within. Can you imagine those 10 people? First, they're over there huddled, they're isolated, they're kept away from everyone, and, just another day of suffering. But then all of a sudden, here's the news, Jesus is coming by. Here's Jesus coming by, and they're getting to say, oh, let's yell for him. Let's call out to him. Let's cry. Can you imagine the 180 that took place? Right then and there, the 180 that took place for everyone that was present as Jesus said, go. Can you imagine? They probably shook their ears and try and clean it out. What'd he say? Did I hear that right? Let's get going. 10 people all of a sudden so sad, now all of a sudden say, oh man, we got some hope. All of a sudden on the happy train, right? They had been there for so long, we don't know how long, maybe years of waiting. But now they could go and get a new start. They could go and get a new beginning. They could go and become new individuals. Jesus said, go. And they went and they were healed. All 10. Tells us that all were healed. Can you imagine the party and excitement? Could you imagine, who would you go tell first? Would you run to your family? Would you run to your friends? Would you travel? Would you make that trip that you always wanted to make to some destination? Do something you never had the opportunity to do, but now you're healed and you're well and you can do it. But one person went to find Jesus, went back to catch up with Jesus. As Jesus continued to travel, one goes and finds Jesus. He says, Lord, I will now worship you. Lord, I am now one with you, and I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. This one person, most likely, is one that went on to make a difference in the name of Jesus. He was willing enough to go to say thank you, that we can be confident. He was willing to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my healer. Let me tell you about my Lord. Let me tell you about this man. He could have left me. He could turn his back on me. He could have turned a deaf ear to me, but he healed me. And he healed the ten of us. 10 of us in total. This one individual What do we know for sure? He got a physical and a spiritual healing as well. Doesn't mean the other nine never came around and caught up with Jesus again. We don't know if they ever crossed paths again. We don't know if they ever got in the church and became great church leaders in some way, shape, or form. Maybe they did. But Scripture tells us about this one. How Jesus had compassion. His compassion was full and complete upon each one of those 10 individuals, knowing full well that only one would come back to thank him. One would come back and fully thank him. He still gave the physical healing to all of them. That is how generous he is. Sounds like he's a pretty good guy, isn't he? Jesus as Lord and Savior. Disease. To have your body with that type of sickness, and even with brokenness of the mind and heart, it can come in many shapes and forms and many reasons. We continue to live in a day and age in a culture of excess. Addiction could be many things. A disease fueled by behaviors, a disease that could be genetic, diseases that are both behaviors and genetics, and then when they clash, it just is not good. We've all heard of the stories, the turnaround, the praises and testimonies, God's work in people's lives. We've all heard how the addict declares, "It is the best thing that has ever, ever happened to me. Thank you, Jesus." We hear those stories. We get that sense of gratefulness and gratitude, the understanding that testifies to a deep well of faith, a life changed for eternity. And there's a lot of hope found in those type of stories. But as the church, are we prepared to help people in the turnaround? Are we going to be grateful for those opportunities of getting our hands dirty and even getting our hearts stepped on? Are we really ready to take that type of risk? To do ministry in that way. I remind you from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord still wants to cleanse us. We still need cleansing. We have not reached perfection. So the Lord's still working, isn't he? And I hope that you are allowing him to work as well. God has never given up on anyone. He's never given up on you. He's not going to give up. He knows the potential. He knows the potential of what happens when people say yes and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. He knows the potential of the human soul, no matter the addiction. And even if it's something as ingratitude, he can turn the most ungrateful people into being the most grateful. We are created in God's own image. As men and as women, we are more like God. We are more like God than any other created creature because we are created in his image. There is nothing in the universe as much like God as a human being with a soul. So we have all kinds of potential when we say yes to Jesus. sin is obvious. Sin is everywhere. There's no question that we are lost without Christ. And without a conversion, a man is lost and overwhelmed in empty darkness. Without that conversion, we are lost in empty darkness. We were created to know God, but too often we've chosen not to. We've chosen to have that closed ear. We've chosen to clench our fist in our hearts. We've chosen the gutter and filth of the world. Our human explanation is summed up in the things that happen in the world. What are some of those things? The war and the hate, the murder and the greed, brother against brother, division within families, churches fighting amongst themselves. How can there still be a good word for man in such a lost condition? Well, there is only one word. Because as we still have this instinct within us, we grope and we crave, and our souls long for a knowledge of an eternal being. Because God has set eternity in each and every one of us. And God says, yes, the hope I give is in my Son, Jesus Christ. I give you my Son. I give you the hope of my Son. Hope that is found in the Word of God. A hope that is teaching us that, yes, we are sinners, but yet we can come to know God. He doesn't leave us where we are. And it all has to do with forgiveness and grace and regeneration and justification. And it is nothing else than God's one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus. Hope is hard to have if you are not saved. You can hope the paycheck shows up in the direct deposit. We can hope that we don't lose everything in this time of economic downturn and financial upheaval. We hope that we still have that nest egg. We hope that we can retire. We hope that the tests come back negative. We hope this and we hope that. But can we hope out a little bit farther? That thing called eternity, everlasting life through Christ in the kingdom of heaven. The world can see our hope when we are grateful. Hope is seen in gratitude. Hope begins with an acceptance and ultimately moves us to a deeper response. It's not just, thank you, Jesus, and we go back down, heading down the road and doing our own thing. It's like, thank you, Jesus. I want to be in a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. How can I work in the church? Thank you, Jesus. How can I help my neighbor? Thank you, Jesus. How can I give someone else? The leper who returned, he returned to Jesus, did so with that type of response. A response of overwhelming gratitude. We have opportunity to respond to God each and every single day, each and every minute. We have an opportunity to respond. It doesn't matter the season of life that you're in. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. This is a new day. You have an opportunity to respond, and God gives you the choice. So I ask you today, in this season, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you plan to do this afternoon, tomorrow, How are you going to respond? Will you give of your time? Will you spend more time in prayer? Will you take more time to meditate upon God's Word? Will you respond and look for those opportunities to say thank you more often? Will you look for those opportunities just to give a prayer of thanksgiving back to the Lord just throughout the day. The response is always up to you. You decide how you're going to respond. You and only you can give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. Or you can just leave it alone. You can walk away and do what you've always done. Race on to the next thing. Do the same old thing. And not give any thanks and praise at all. It's only up to you. But I hope that as a church and as leaders in this church that we can create an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord, for each other, for the ministry that he's done in this church through this year alone, with anticipation that greater things are yet to come. Let us pray. Father God, you are the God of blessing and mercy. And Lord, for each one that is gathered here today and all who are listening and watching and even those that may listen and watch in the future, I ask for you to pour upon us the healing waters of thy Holy Spirit. For we are not only parched and dry, we are tired and weak. We are broken and frustrated. We are irritated about things of this world and maybe things within the church. Only the Spirit satisfies. Thy Holy Spirit, when it fills and we allow it within us. Lord, we have tried so many things. We have tried to fill the void. We have tried to take care of the ache within the need of the human soul. But nothing can completely satisfy the emptiness of our lives that only your love and your presence was designed to fill. Fill us today, Lord, to overflowing so that we might share with others the testimony of transformation, the gratefulness and gratitude of salvation through Jesus Christ. Free us from the oppression and bondage of the excess or addictions and depression and condemnation and arrogance and self-righteousness and whatever other sin that needs to be named. I pray that we take responsibility and name it. Name that sin that would separate us from you and from loving you and loving one another. Again, I say, come, Holy Spirit. Transform us this day. I invite you to do your holy work in the healing name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come and help us and lead us forward. And may we turn to you in gratefulness today, tomorrow, and the years to come. However you lead us, Lord, we turn to you with thanksgiving. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.